You're listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Sitting at ringside.
The show that brings you all that is pro wrestling, news, interviews, and opinions.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
With Daniel Spencer.
The most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
Jeremy Wallman.
I'm the best in the world at what I do.
And Justin Kruger.
Your arms are just too short to box with God.
And now, let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer.
I'm Jeremy Wallman.
Just us today, man. We don't have anybody with us. JK still out on a sabbatical, and we appreciate Clint filling in last week, helping us out on the show. And
it was a good time.
It was a good time, and a lot of great feedback for that episode. A lot of people enjoyed it. It's actually, believe it or not, it's our most
listened to
show, but the most listened to in a short period of time.
Gotcha.
So, but I think we're about to trump those numbers today.
Oh, I don't think there's a shadow in the doubt of anybody's mind, and I also think that says a lot for our normal co-host JK that he can be gone and we can replace him with just anybody off the street, and our numbers doubled instantly. So. There might be some trouble in the waters for JK.
Well, in JK's defense, I didn't say they doubled. I said it was...
No, I did. I don't care.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. But as we
start... Facts are optional.
There's a lot going on in the wrestling world, and we'll talk about that in the next couple of episodes. We appreciate the support. By the way, you can listen to us not only on ringsidepodcast.com, not only on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play app, or Podcast Addict for those of you that have Androids. But we've just announced now, ladies and gentlemen, we are on TuneIn Radio app. So the TuneIn app, go to the podcast section, search for Ringside Podcast, bada bing, bada boom, we are right there.
Realest podcast in the room. How you doing?
All right, so we're...
I hate that we agreed on that. Can you edit that out? Because I don't want anybody hearing that we said that together.
Yeah, well... So anyways, today is actually... Now, we've had Ricky Chevy on the show before. As a guest, insight, but this is kind of we'll just call this our first official guest.
Oh, it is our first official guest, yeah. Because the only thing Ricky Chevy ever did for our show was come on and then not come back.
True, but that could be a good thing, though.
Yeah, it is a good thing.
Yeah. But pretty excited about this. I had the opportunity. Jeremy, you were out doing other work, other stuff.
Please don't remind me, because this is one of the... I don't regret it because of the other work I had to do, but I do regret it because this guy is a guy in the wrestling world that I've looked up to for years, and I'm sick to my stomach.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I got to hang out, spend a day, which he's my friend. He's a friend of mine, so he literally is. His name, hanging out with Jericho.
But I got to hang out with Mr. Name Dropper over here.
I get to hang out with Kenny, the Star Maker Bolin. Kenny Bowen, he's the best friend of Jim Cornette. He's also, not only is he the man who made John Cena, he's, by the way, Kenny Bowen is verified on Twitter, but he's also a WWE Hall of Fame mentionee.
Yeah, he is. I heard it. I was there for it.
Yeah. He said it, you know, Jim Grant mentioned his name on live WWE Network right across the world, so he's a mentionee. So before you know it, he'll be a Hall of Fame person, probably. I would say so.
As he should be. Yeah. As a trainer and creator. Well, I mean, not for that one, but for the rest of his work.
Rico Constantino and
he should be rewarded for.
Mark Jindrak, Lance Cade, Bull Buchanan, Rob Conway, Nick Dismore, just to name a few. Just a few. The Miz.
So many.
Yeah, I know, I can keep going on and on. But, it was great sitting down with him, and I got a good insight of, kind of some different things. And here's the thing. We were joined. We had a treat. Because not only did we have Kenny Bolin, but we had a son, the Prince, Christopher Bolin. Chris Bolin was there as well. So we all kind of interacted and shared things. And I tell you what, man, they told some stories that you're only going to hear right here on the Ringside Podcast. Stuff you've never heard anywhere else. Now, Kenny Bowen is the king of podcast. And we'll mention that at the end of the show, but he's got a new podcast starting out. When this airs on Tuesday. Tomorrow, Wednesday, which is the 21st, Kenny Bowen's new podcast, The Bowen Alley, will air on live in his new area there. But you can search for him, Google, or look on Apple Podcasts. He's also on Stitcher, Google Play as well. The Bowen Alley, which has a picture of him, like a cartoon picture of him holding the crown. The reason why I say that, because there's other versions of the Bowen Alley from the past, the archives you can listen to, but this is the brand new Bowen Alley podcast that starts on the 21st. And at the end of the show, we'll give you more updates on exactly how to listen and go there as well, like we do on our show there. So I tell you what, why don't we just go ahead? This is a special treat. Let's just go ahead and get into the Bowen interview. And then and go from there. All right, special edition of the Ringside Podcast here. I am right here live in person with the one and only star maker, Kenny Bowen.
You know, this is only the second time in the history of podcasting that I've allowed a podcast group to come in to my home and interview me in my own home.
You did invite me to your home. I feel privileged. Now, we've known each other for quite some time, so I think that might be the reason why.
I've never met you.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. We also got a treat, though, because your son...
Well, Tucow is here. Oh, my son. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. The prince himself.
He's here.
I am here, yes. It's probably because I live on the same street, so
yeah.
Didn't have to travel far.
You live 13 and a half feet above me is where you live.
High ceilings.
Exactly. Now, I do want to say at the very beginning, this is a PG-13 show, and I know the history of you, Mr. Bowen.
PG-13.
PG-13, that's right.
Have you heard my shows before?
I have. That's
why I bring
it up. Have you
heard the Bowen Alley?
I have. That's why.
Have you heard the Jim Cornette Experience?
I have.
Have you heard the countless other shows I've been on?
I have.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck the goddamn horse and camel you rode in here, honey. I ain't going to be on no goddamn PG-13 show. I'll say what the fuck I want, Prince. You ain't going to go for his shit, are you?
No, this is absolutely fucking bullshit. The day you ever bring up PG-13 in my presence, unless it's J.C. Ice and Wolfie fucking D, then you can go fuck yourself, motherfucker.
Let me tell you something. You go ahead.
By the way, PG-13, we did give them a shout-out on some of the greatest tag teams.
They just got another one, didn't they?
It did. So we've mentioned PG-13 very many times on this show, so there you go. That's why it's a PG-13 show.
Because you're a mark for Wolfie D.
All right, you won me over, I guess.
As long as it's not J.C. Ice, I guess.
All right, Prince, we'll work with a little asshole. We'll do PG-13.
It'll be you've done it before. It ain't like you have never been PG-13
before.
Well,
I did work on a Christian network on the OVW television show, and I only said the F word on there twice.
Twice. I got it once. You got it twice. Yeah. I'm actually proud of that.
They aired ours.
Wow.
The stupid people in the editing room didn't know what to do, and it aired on a Christian network.
They probably weren't even watching it. That's
that's my guess. Yeah, nobody was watching it.
No, they watched when I was on.
Oh, they did? Okay, I got you.
Way back when.
I was on that show, too. I can assure you nobody watched it.
Now, Star Maker here, they can follow you on Twitter.
You can call me King.
Okay, King? All right, well, Jerry would be mad about that, wouldn't he?
He'll get over it. Did you see all the pictures floating around on the internet? All the fans I had up in Connecticut? It looked like there must have been 1,000 people in there wearing Kenny Bowen shirts and not one Jerry Lawler shirt on a match he was main event for. And then he's doing his autograph signings. And he's having to pose for pictures with my Star Maker Bowen shirt, the comic book one, Prince. You know the one.
I know the one, yeah.
And he was embarrassed in Memphis. Remember when we went to the Memphis Hall of Fame when they inducted me in the Hall of Fame down here in Memphis? And there was people down there, they were wearing 605 podcast shirts, the new network that I'm going to be appearing on soon. They were wearing, sadly enough, Jimmy Cornette t-shirts and Kenny Bowen shirts. And we didn't see one Jerry Lawler shirt, did we?
No, not one. But I think that might be because he doesn't sell any.
Well, it could be. But it's a possibility. Why would a man of that ilk not be selling t-shirts?
Especially a man with that kind of artistic skills. It's not like he couldn't design one.
Yeah, he's an artist for crying out loud. I had an artist in Ireland design mine.
I was going to say, you ought to put him over just as a,
Simon
just
Cowell.
Do the decent thing.
I don't think it's Simon Cowell, but it's Simon. He's on Twitter. Just look up Simon.
There'll be a lot of those. You'll probably be filtering for a while.
Well, you could be. But if you see a Simon link to me, he's the one that designed my newest t-shirt. Now, the thank you, F you. This is how I clean that up.
Yeah, good job.
Good day shirt. Now, Myara actually designed that one. She designed that for me, and we haven't sold any yet. But no, we've sold a few.
You're on Twitter at Star Maker Bowen, right?
Mm-hmm, very good.
And
what's your homework?
What's your podcast? What is it called? The Bowen Alley.
Wrong.
Right.
Wrong.
No.
Wrong.
Wrong.
It used to be called the Bowen.
You couldn't be more wrong.
It used to be the Bowen. Tell him, Prince. Tell him how wrong he is.
You're so wrong. I have tiny hands, and you're more wrong than the size of my hands.
There we go.
That's pretty damn wrong. That's, you're wrong in the circumstances of my election. What happened is that we have made a transition.
Yeah.
As you know, my podcast used to be on another show hosted by the great Harry Barnett. And then we went into hiatus for quite some time. We didn't do any bowling alleys for a while. And the great, what's his name?
Brian Last.
It might help. I know his name.
You're right. That's a beep something else.
The great Brian Last has invited me to their network. Well, I have so many greats going through my head. The great Kali. I had all these greats going through my head.
The great Muda. The great Kabuki.
None of those greats asked me to be on their podcast, but the great Brian Last did. So we're going to be moving our show from the great Harry Barnett to the great Brian Last. Seems strange, but that's what we're doing.
It seems like a lateral move if you go by greatness.
Well, if you go by greatness, but the fans are really seem to be aboard this. Mm-hmm. He's got a nice audio technical crew over there, and the audio's good. He's got a good following. His fans love me. My fans, for whatever reason, love him. Didn't mean that to come across in a degrading way.
That's condescending, yeah. That's
yeah,
terrible.
I didn't mean for that to come across in a degrading way, but what I'm trying to say is that the fans love both our shows.
Okay.
And we're going to be, and listen to this date. Do you know what date my show is going to debut there?
No, that's, let us know
it's
right here.
It's going to debut on 6/21, but I know, 6/21/17, the first day of summer, and what bigger bright glow of sunshine can you think than Kenny Bolin appearing on a brand new podcast network, the new Bolin Alley.
So how can they download the episodes?
I don't know. I haven't got all that information yet.
Brian is very technical. I have a feeling it'll be on Stitcher. It'll be on.
It'll be on all the podcasts.
It'll get posted to YouTube.
Play, gotcha.
You'll be able to get.
That was one thing that one of our demands is you got to make damn sure we're on iTunes every week.
You got to have distribution. Yeah.
First time ever, we're going to be going bi-weekly for the first time in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do two of these a month.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to. if you want your free meal at Mark's Feed Store,
I was about to say you're going to shame me if I don't.
And, by the way, we did go to Mark's Feed Store before we started. It was a great job, delicious feast.
Or what? The manager there. Does anybody remember the general manager's name?
Aaron, I believe.
Aaron the Idol. No, it wasn't Aaron the Idol. Steven.
No, he is not. He is not quite he has, gone that. That no.
He's not far
from wrestling. Yeah.
He's not that far, but. Aaron was there, was just great to us, and as a matter of fact, Jim Cornette and myself are going to talk about doing a fundraiser for them next spring or summer.
And you heard that here first, right here on the Ringside Podcast.
Yeah, we normally do those for Golden Corral, and I'm not saying we won't do one for Golden Corral, but we are probably going to work Mark's Feed Store into the mix, being as they're owned by the same conglomerate, Junior Bridgman, former great basketball player for the Louisville Cardinals.
It's going to be a restaurant fundraiser loop that you're doing. It's going to be like Spot Chess.
As a matter of fact, I think I've got the boss, Aaron, talked into doing a buffet with bowling. Because the shows are called Buffet
with Bowling. It is a buffet with bowling.
So you can't advertise buffet with bowling and not have a buffet. And she said, for me and for my party, nobody else, if you buy a ticket to come to our show next spring or summer, whenever we decide to do it, that it will be a buffet setup, that it'll be all you can eat, a couple of different meats to choose from, the sides, and it's going to be a glorious day. And Jimmy Cornette's son will be there. Little Jimmy, you'll be there for that, won't you?
Yes, I will.
Now, will you buy your ticket, or you want comped?
Pay for the whole thing.
Well, there you go. You can even pay for everybody's buffet if you like.
I think that the ticket should be part of Jimmy's back child support. Well, he owes a lot of years.
He does owe a lot of years of back child support.
We will definitely promote that on the podcast.
It's a shame that little Jimmy LeBeau has to work at UPS as hard as he does, trying to earn money to make up for what his daddy won't give him.
Yeah,
well, Jimmy Cornette is he's a low life dog.
We've been trying to order the DNA test. Jimmy's been ducking it for years now. It's disgusting behavior.
If he knew that little Jimmy wasn't his son, I think that he would take the DNA test. But he's scared. He's just like Donald Trump. Donald Trump says he's going to testify under oath. I'd like to see that. Well, no, I wouldn't, because he's like me. You think if I put my hand on a Bible, I still ain't going to lie? I'm going to lie because I'm an atheist. That's what atheists do. We don't tell the truth. Well, sometimes when you tell the truth, it hurts your feelings.
Right.
I tell a thing, and I don't mean this to sound racist or anything, but I tell white lies.
White lies?
That's what I tell.
This is going to be actually not comfortable with.
Well, have you ever heard anybody tell a black lie? A white lie would be like telling Myara that she looks pretty in the morning. A white lie would be telling Myara, God, you're just lovely today. A white lie would be, Myara, that was one of the finest hamburgers I've ever eaten. A white lie would be, Myara, that concoction you made me last night was so sweet that it made me sick and made my teeth hurt. It was just fantastic.
Now you got.
It was good.
Explain to the audience who you're talking about here.
Myara is the the hitchhiker that my son, no, he didn't pick her up hitchhiking. He discovered her on, well, he didn't discover her on Facebook. I think, did she discover him? How did you meet your wife?
You were talking to her, trying to hit on her. She wanted to talk about friends.
She was only 13 then. You know, 14, I got an age limit.
14.
14 and a half.
And she was trying to talk about French politics with you. You had no ability to do that. You said, you're too smart for me. Message my son.
I think I did say that.
She did. And then eventually, a few years later, I ended up moving to Germany.
Here's my thinking on this.
And God, I wish I'd never come back.
She's 14 and a half is the claim she was making. And I figured it was going to take me a year and a half to get over there to get her. So she'd have been 16 by then.
And that's legal in Germany.
And from what I heard, her mother had a big crush on me. So I figured if it didn't go well with her mammy.
Oh, you're never going to meet her mom.
Yeah, well.
That's never going to be a meeting that happens.
She's way too old for me.
All right.
So let's,
hang on. I got something I want to point out, and I hate to cut you off because I'm getting into
that. Well, you just did.
But you and I have dominated this whole thing like it's a bowling alley. It's actually his show, so maybe we should let him talk.
I'm good. I'm letting you go. It's fine with me. I was going to interrupt and start on something, but
hold on. Yeah. Hold on, Daniel. Shut up. what did you just say?
I said that you and I have been running this thing like it's just another episode of the bowling alley.
Name me the podcast we ever did that we didn't do 92% of the talking. Name me the one.
Yeah, I got nothing. That's what I thought.
Yeah, if we give you more than 8%, it's because we like you.
Exactly. There you go.
You're getting six.
All right, so
he's already paid the bill for the Mark speech.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah, I got nothing to give him now.
Yeah, he's got nothing to hold over us now.
Unless you want to go out to Comfy Cow for dessert, in which case I'll give you a salt.
If he hadn't paid the bill, we'd give him 20%.
So okay, so let's tell everybody now. I don't think there's anyone
think
out there that knows who you
rejected,
are.
Rejected, by the way. I saw you back there reaching in your pockets for cash. Is that what happened?
Yeah,
what, credit card got declined, didn't it?
No, I'm Daniel Spencer. It don't get declined.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well.
They skip the climbing. They go straight to cutting it off.
You should have told me that because we're going to Comfy Cow now.
Jimmy. Let's tell people who you are.
There's a big time radio show going on here. What the hell are you doing sitting over there? You texting your daddy? What are you doing?
Nah, his brother.
Your brother?
His needy ass brother.
Your brother ain't pulling his pants down around his knees, dangling his weenie around for everybody again, is he?
All inch and a half
brother
of it.
Disgust me. I hate your brother's too stupid to live. I just want to point that out.
So I don't think there's anybody out there that
he's
doesn't
so
know.
Stupid, I don't think he's related to Jimmy.
Oh, he's not. I'm adopted. So.
Oh.
He's adopted. There you go.
Well, he explains that. Go ahead, Daniel. Don't let me cut you off.
I don't think anybody...
This would be a great interview if you'd shut up and just let me do the talking, but go ahead.
Yeah, right. I don't think anybody out there... I don't think there's very many that don't know who you are, but let's just explain who you are and a little bit of a history. I'll run down your career just real quick.
I don't know if I want to meet anybody that doesn't know who I am, but go ahead.
So you debuted in, what, 86, 87 in Nashville, Tennessee? Is that right?
November of 1987? Yeah, when I actually was getting paid, it was November 87.
He had to walk uphill to the arena in the snow both ways.
Both ways. Man, that threw me off when I thought I was going to get downhill back.
No.
Hell no. I was like, what the hell? Uphill both ways?
That was back when it was wrestling, right? It wasn't sports entertainment.
I never called it wrestling. I don't even know where that came from. It was called professional wrestling is what it was
okay,
called.
Okay, all right.
Wrestling.
And Nick Gulas has foreign audiences all over Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't think Nick Gulas ever put up a marquee and come see professional wrestling tonight. I don't think I ever saw it. Jerry Jarrett didn't do it. Jerry Lawler didn't do it.
No, that was
George Gulas would have done
George
it.
George Gulas, he might have done it.
Yeah, I think it was more of a Ted Turner word.
Well,
later
Ted
on.
Turner actually, well.
He went into the wrestling.
It wasn't actually Ted Turner. What was the character that.
Billionaire Ted. Yeah.
I think Billionaire Ted did come up with wrestling. So seemed to work for him.
Right. So okay. So what was the company called in Nashville? What was the loop there?
God dang!
If you can come up with this, I'll be impressed.
Hang on.
I've never heard you say it.
I can do it. Welcome to Global Championship Wrestling. I think it was Global Championship. I think it was called Global Championship Wrestling.
How many globals have there been?
We'll have to double check. We can double check this. Cameron, a.k.a. Little Jimmy LeBeau. Well, wait a minute. It looks like Myara might be looking it up on the Bolatron 8000. Yeah. A little bit better than Jared.
There was a Global Championship Wrestling.
Look up Kenny Bolin, Nick Gulas. You may have to hear the interview kind of under your breath over there. And at some point during that interview, I tell you what the name of that company was. But the, but global
it was not global force wrestling. No.
But that would make sense why Jeff Jarrett, you know, in that area would come up with.
Believe
global.
Me, nothing about global force wrestling made any sense, and that's why
I'm
Jeff
probably,
Jarrett's back in
I'm
TNA.
I'm probably wrong. Well,
I love
and,
Jeff
and,
Jarrett.
And I love Jeff Jarrett too, but did I not tell you what was going to happen with that company?
We all knew what was going to happen with that company. Jeff Jarrett knew what was going to happen with that company.
Well, the thing about it that we talk about on the show too that's weird is that the fact that he has this global force wrestling. Now he's back in TNA Impact, mm-hmm. whatever you call
and
it,
10 pounds heavier.
But you he's still trying to like pimp out Global Force Wrestling. It's like it's Impact. What are you doing?
I think that at the end it's going to be all unified and together and wiped out, and it's just going to go forward as Impact Wrestling. I think TNA and Global Force, both names are going to die within the next few months.
I think that's already happened. I think they already call it Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, and I think that I think the title think still says TNA, so I think they're going to get a new title, yeah.
The title, yeah, they'll still say TNA.
Yeah, I think they're going to get a new title when they unify it with the Global Force, and they'll just be done with the whole thing.
Here's something I'd love to talk about. I don't know if you're prepared to get into this today or not, but I got enough money in my left-hand front pocket here.
To buy me ice cream?
To buy. Well, I could get you some Comfy Cow if you had to have it.
I think I might. I think
if
I
Daniel
might.
Daniel ain't paying.
I think I might.
And I think we cleaned it.
I think we're going to hit some Comfy Cow.
Yeah, it's pretty delicious. I think we may have cleaned Daniel.
I'm on a diet, but I can cheat today.
Yeah, you might want to cheat for the cow. Have you had Comfy Cow?
I've had Comfy Cow.
Yeah, that's very good.
Well, fortunately for me, this
changed
is my
your life.
Very Highland-specific episode of the of the podcast here today.
Fortunately for me, this is my cheat year, so I should be okay.
So
next year we'll evaluate the situation and then go from there.
All right. So you was there until '96. Is that when you came back to Louisville to OVW?
Not technically. I was there. I moved back to Louisville in '90.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Cornette came to my home when I lived in Louisville. Had a roommate named George Moore. God rest his soul. I think he's still alive, but we'll rest his soul later because I hadn't seen him in a long time.
Two Cow knocking over audio equipment here.
We're still on the air.
Cow, you're a bad dog.
Cow, wait.
I've said it once. I've said it.
I think Cow
times.
Said he's heard enough of this show already.
Cow wants to know when he's getting some mic time.
Well, he's over on your mic right now. You going to let him talk?
If he's got something to say. Cal, you want to chime in here? So, okay, back to the actual thing.
Back to
we're going
to
hear about the career of noted brand expert Kenny Bolin.
Hey.
I am an expert. I came back to Louisville in 1990. Jimmy came to my living room in late 92, letting me know that he was starting his own wrestling company. And
how'd that turn out for him?
He showed me the demo tape of the intro of what was going to be Smoky Mountain Wrestling right there at LaFontenay Apartments in Louisville, Kentucky, over on the east side of town. And I said, well, that looks like that might be an okay show. So they went ahead and went forward with it on my okay. And then how many years later was he closing the doors and...
That was 93. I think they closed in 95 or 96. So, yeah.
Right. 96 at the latest,
yeah,
I think.
That was the latest. And it was on life support then.
And I remember. You know what? In 94, I was still at LaFontenay, and that's when Jimmy showed up on Raw, and he didn't tell anybody. I didn't know.
Right, yeah, yeah.
He pulled the Heyman.
Yeah, and
I guess Heyman pulled the Cornette.
As a matter of fact, I had to have somebody come and steam the crap stains out of my couch because I was so shocked that Jimmy Cornette had showed up and that Bobby Heenan was putting him over the way he was. Bobby Heenan was my idol for managers, a man who actually has originality.
And who knew how to take a bump.
Doesn't steal and can take a bump.
Yeah. Now you also, when you started, Jimmy ended up coming to OVW.
He did. In Smoky Mountain, I was mainly Jim's occasional ring announcer from show to shows, and I also did backstage production and a lot of the television shows.
But you were at OVW first, wasn't you?
I was at OVW first, and then Jimmy catches wind of that. And
you're skipping a very important 6 months in the history here, and it's so entertaining.
I don't like bringing them. Go ahead, Prince. That way I can say I didn't talk about
it. He also used to work for about a 6 or 7 month span for IWA Mid-South, although he never wants to put that
wrong,
over.
Wrong.
Ian Rotten has a tiny penis.
I didn't work.
No, they worked you like a dog. You were on 9. They had you in 9 of 10 matches.
There was one night that I did 11 of 13 matches, and they had me cut promos in every one.
Wow. This is my own personal thing about the wrestling business. Who books a show with 13 matches, and who, except for marks, with no self-respect and no idea of anything beyond wrestling that they cannot physically do, wants to watch a 13-match show?
I can't stand the fact that we have to sit through a 7-hour WrestleMania now.
I
You know, which is basically the same thing.
I guess technically that's what it is.
That's what it is. It's a 13, 14 match show that's, you know, and a lot of it is just, you know, everyone's trying to get their WrestleMania moment.
Well,
it's terrible.
One thing I will say is that when you have to do 11 promos out of 13 matches and try to keep your heat, and somehow there I was able to do it, I don't know how. Because that was Jimmy Hart's biggest problem. Jimmy Hart was involved in 5 out of 7 segments on Memphis television. And you get so damn sick of seeing him is that eventually, it's the go-away heat, eventually I named X-Pac Heat. And
he got it for different reasons, though.
But somehow I was able to keep a decent level of heat over there doing that many promos. But that will teach you to think on your feet, not say the same thing over and over. You can't go out there and do the same 9 promos or same 11 promos that you did before. You've got to come up with something different every time, and obviously can't nobody really tell you how to do those, not that many.
Right.
So you got to come up with them on your own. And so for whatever it's worth, I guess it did teach me to think on my feet and to always have something different to say.
And I'll actually go into this too, because this is an interesting part of the next story. I've told this on our show, and I don't think I've told anybody else, but I've told it on ours. The original plan was for IWA Mid-South to become WWE Developmental.
That was the groundwork.
Not a lot of non-Bowling Alley fans know that, and Cornette will not admit this, but I can assure you on my grandfather's grave,
this is the God's honest truth.
Jimmy didn't give a damn where he was going to be doing developmental. He just wanted out of Connecticut, and Dad was with Ian, and Ian had a great building.
Right.
He did.
It was an old Kmart.
And an actual decent following for a while.
Some decent talent, too. Danny Davis's at the time was, they were working for Ian anyway, so that was okay.
It was Nick and Rob, Jason Lee, Trash, Flash Flanagan. Rip Rogers.
Rip was coming in. I wouldn't say Rip was a decent talent or even a talent.
Well,
he was there.
And he also was not a regular there like Flash and Jason.
Right,
and
Flash
Trash.
But
Jason
the bulk
Trash,
of the OVW talent was already in IWA, so that didn't really matter. Ian had, his ring was torn to hell from all the hardcore stuff. But we were getting
our first television shows on Ian Rotten's show. The ring had more duct tape in it than it had mat.
Yeah, that's a shoot.
It was an absolute embarrassment to say that I was a part of that show.
So Cornette sent word to Dad that he's trying to get the developmental thing pushed through for Ian, because Ian had a much better building than Danny had for many years. The old Mechanic Street building was terrible. And Ian had the Kmart that they had converted into a pretty decent-looking arena. They painted it all black.
And
they had logos.
Jimmy is trying to book the shows from the WWE and give Ian a direction to go in.
Control freak.
Exactly. But yeah, it was better than anything Ian was doing.
It was. I'm not gonna argue. Jimmy can't book, but he's still better than Ian.
And there weren't going to be any light tube matches. There weren't going to be any fans bring the weapons matches.
Right,
there weren't going to be any piranha matches.
Did he ever do a piranha match?
He did. Okay. Over in Southern Indiana. The King of the Death matches.
I would have gone to see a piranha match.
They wanted
Danny. This is when Danny was in the building in Jeff.
Yeah, Mechanic
Street.
If you want to call that
the quadrangle building, I believe it was called.
That's exactly what it was.
The big old center block in the middle of the ring.
WWE used to send their top officials down to scout the talent and see how everybody was doing, and they'd have to come to that piece of crap. I said crap.
I wouldn't. I'd have gone for shit on that one.
All right, I guess you're going to have to bleep that one.
But,
oh, my Lord, that building
it was
an
embarrassment.
Atrocity.
So the plan was originally to go to Ian's building. Were you going to those shows back then?
Yeah.
So you remember, they painted it, at one point they painted it all black in preparation for this. That was why they did that.
Didn't even know this stuff. I was not allowed to tell anybody.
Yeah, they painted the IWA Mid-South on the back wall. The shows got slightly shorter. So things were kind of moving in that direction, but Ian would not give up the garbage wrestling.
It's kind of hush-hush. I mean, because really Danny hasn't even talked about this.
I don't even think Danny knows
about this.
Danny
never knew.
Yeah, I don't know that Danny knew about this.
Danny never knew.
Nobody really talks about this. I was the first person to ever bring it up, and he threatened me with death for years that I was not allowed to talk about this. But I remember the phone calls.
Yeah.
I was around. I was going to Ian's shows. I was in the meetings with him and Ian where they were talking about it, and he's saying, hey, Ian, quit the light tube stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, stop doing this. You can't bleed and 10 out of 13 matches.
Which they were.
Yeah.
And now they're getting to the point where they want me to bleed for $75 a night.
And it's coming to the point where Dad can't coexist with Ian, and Ian's getting mad about it.
And I'm sorry for all the workers who are over there that did 10 times as much as I did for $5, $10, and $20, but I wasn't going over there for any less.
Well, but you had a brain.
And also, he was friends with Corluza, who was the NWA guy.
This as a favor to Corluza, or else I'd have never, ever been there. But Dennis asked me to do it. Because he couldn't justify coming from Philadelphia to there every week. So he said, I'll introduce you to the crowd, and you're going to run the Corluza bunch for me. Mm-hmm. And because you live right here, you'll get a payday out of it, and you know, $75 in the early
mid-90s,
yeah, 95, you know, wasn't a bad payoff, right, for a guy who really didn't have any credentials other than working for Nick Gulas in Nashville and doing some bullshit work for Cornette. I'm sorry, I slipped again. For Jimmy down in Smoky Mountain. Mm-hmm.
So basically, it comes to the point to where he's decided that he's going to OVW. He's already talked to Danny. Jimmy started talking to Danny. It's clear, you know, Danny's got a TV show. He's got a better TV show. He's got better TV production.
Better ring.
Well, yeah. WWE was sending rings anyway, so the ring wasn't that big of a deal.
They weren't yet.
Well, they were going to.
Those rings didn't come till later.
Did they?
Yeah, they can't. Yeah, I thought it was later. Like 98, 99, right?
Probably 99 before we got our first ring from them.
Really? I remember they sent truckloads of them down.
No, they did.
Yeah,
because that was when WCW, though.
That was another run.
Yeah, okay,
yeah, that was
okay,
another
okay,
run.
Okay.
You should have saw us the first time that we got the canvas that goes under the mat. We didn't know what. Well, it's a foam. It's a foam that's about that thick.
Yeah, bumping got
and
a lot
we've
easier.
Been bumping on carpet and at metal ring all that time. And then all of a sudden, instead of an 18-foot ring, we have a 21- or 22-foot ring, and it's got this foam under it.
About what, 2 inches, you said? About 2 inches?
Right about. Okay. And we all had to adjust to it, even managers, because it was different to get in there.
Yeah, your feet feel different.
And that noise got taken away. Because now when you took the flat back bump, you didn't hear anything.
Yeah, that Mechanics Street ring was so loud.
So
wasn't the ring size one of the things that necessitated the move to the new building?
Yeah, it was because the old ring was 18 feet.
Right, the ring wouldn't fit.
And
that hole right
column.
There. The column,
We had that column in the way. So we used the foam early, but we didn't get the real rings till we got to the
one thing
building.
Was great about the only thing that was great about the column, the only thing that I remember is the fact that you could put the OVW logo up and down the side. You can tell when you're watching.
We also had one of the hard cameras.
Yeah,
I was
gonna say,
yeah, the great camera right there on the that's right.
Yeah, that was basically a $297 JVC camera VHS that was shooting that show. The hard camera. That's what that was.
On the little.
All of them were about $300 cameras.
It was like a little wooden little thing. We didn't
even get into Super VHS or High Beta until, God, probably 2002, 2003.
Are they still selling betas anywhere? There's Beta Dead.
Yeah.
Video you can still order.
Jimmy bought 4 Betamax machines about a year ago.
I remember when he did that, but I didn't know if you could still like go out to a Best Buy.
You have to order them from like BH Video.
So it's a special order.
Yeah, or
Mexico
like,
still to this day prefers Beta over VHS.
Japan was that way for a long time too, to where a lot of things are on Beta.
Yeah, but when JVC came out with VHS,
y'all don't know nothing about no video CDs.
Well, but porn was what made it do that though.
I wouldn't know.
I'm just, that's legitimately what happened. I
wondered why your left hand was all calloused.
So, at any rate, the last show comes and Ian kind of figures out.
Whoa, wait a minute. Cameron, both your hands are calloused. What are you doing? Good Lord. Damn it.
All that fun time with his brother.
Well.
So it comes time for Dad to leave the IWA.
It came time, as a matter of fact, the last person I said goodbye to was Sabu.
Yeah.
Because I told Sabu and a couple others smartened me
Pondo,
up because Ian was hot. Ian was wanting to settle up with me at a bar
show. And Ian thought
he
was going to get like a multi-million-dollar deal out of this. So
wow.
Yeah.
He could have.
If he hadn't been an idiot.
And
you know, it's funny. We call him an idiot on everything, and he goes back and forth at everybody. He will not even bring our names up.
Well, he's doing what we did to him for some years. Because we ignored him for the better part of 20
years. I'm amazed
years.
That he's smart enough to do that. Because he has to know that if he get like he'll get some like notoriety out of it, because we're pretty over in the whole podcasting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But we would, especially me, I would eat that fat piece of garbage alive.
Oh, I don't have the ability to cut a promo on Ian Rotten, do I?
Well, I think you're a little more sensitive to family and not being monstrous like I am. I'll go anywhere.
You're more like Jimmy Cornette. You'd kill people.
I've got more of the Cornette.
You'll call their daughters retarded.
Is his daughter retarded? I've never seen it.
I think so.
Or you'll
does he have a retarded daughter? I don't even know.
I don't even know if he has a daughter.
Yeah. I mean, Jimmy's got a retarded son.
I mean, he's got retard strength. Now let's be honest about this.
You have a retarded dog.
That does not have retard.
And Eugene
strength.
Was also the nephew of Eric Bischoff.
That's right. He was
speaking of retarded.
Yeah, there you go.
Retarded.
So he
Nick
tried.
Densmore.
He was going to be with a kendo stick or a crutch. Or what was he going to get you with?
He was going to get me with a kendo stick. The match was going to end.
Yeah.
And the wrestlers that he had correlated on this were going to make sure that I did not get out of there. He planned this twice.
Yeah, Bull Payne got you out once.
Bull Payne. Well, Bull Payne and who's the guy that just died? Him and his son. Oh, Bailey,
Joe Bailey.
Yeah, they tipped me off
once. Rest in peace, Joe Bailey.
He
Good
says,
man.
Kenny, when that match ends, he says, get your ass out of the ring, get to the back. Ian's planning on ambushing you. He's hot that you and Cornette are doing his thing with OVW, and he ain't going to get a part of it. And he said he's going to try and settle up with you tonight on a shoot. I said, okay. So the match ended. I rolled immediately out of the ring and walked back to the dressing room. I was supposed to have been in there to participate in a run-in finish. I just rolled out of the ring, went straight to the back. Ian gets to the back and says, why in hell did you leave the ring? Your part went over. Why? Everybody says, no, my part was done. I decided I didn't want to participate in the thing you had planned, so I just came on back here. And I knew I had friends in the back that were going to make sure nothing happened. And so he got real hot about that. So he planned it again at a bar show that Sabu was at. And I was talking to Sabu, and Sabu was telling me how many times he got screwed by Heyman on paydays and everything. And I said, yeah, that sounds about like Paul Heyman. And he informed me. He says, man, he said, I don't think it's cool. He says, I know what Ian's trying to do to you tonight. I said, yeah, I said, I've heard a couple of buzzbirds going around about how I probably wouldn't be in that last match. And because I'd already worked like three matches that night already. And I told Sabu, I said, well, I tell you what, this sounds like about as good a time as any. I said, you tell Paul Heyman, I said, hello, and to pay his boys. And you tell Ian Rotten that this is, again, a sabotage attack on me that ain't going to work. Uh-huh. And this is my last day. I'll never see you guys again, especially him. And you tell him, I said, goodnight. And I grabbed my bags and I went home. I worked my three matches. I didn't do the last two. And I got in my car and went home, never went there again. Because Sabu basically tipped me off as to what he's going to do. And I said, I'll never be back, and I never went. Now, many others said that, and they all went back. I never did.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say that it's one of those things, though, because if you look at the talent roster at the time, I do think Ian probably had a much better roster than Danny.
At that time, he did.
Yeah. And he had all of Danny's best talent.
But here's the thing you got to look at. Not only did he have the best talent that Danny already had, he did that mark booking that
we
talked about.
Oh, yeah. We
where you overbook the house and you don't have the money to pay him.
One of my favorite Ian Rotten stories is that he booked Dusty Rhodes to come in and cancel the show and like made Dusty hang out with him for the payday.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because Ian Rotten's a big mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jock sniffing is what Cornette used to call it.
Oh, that's beyond and, that. And that's, he that's
would,
straight
he would
looking.
Book people that he wanted to sniff their jocks and say that he hung out with and knew he didn't have the money to pay it, so he would always have to find these money marks.
Right.
In order to pay the deal.
Well, in Japan, they call that what, like sponsors or something?
No, there's a difference between a sponsor and a money mark. Like a sponsor will take you out to dinner.
Right.
They'll
buy
you your drinks, your dinner to hang out with you to get to know you. These are people who they really, and there's so much of this. And, you know.
Like it's real to me, damn it, type of people?
No, I know.
He's actually a good guy. Wills, he came up here to meet me.
Dave Wills is a good guy. I think the most he's ever money marked for was a dinner to Charlie's.
Yeah, he took us out to
Dave Wills is a good guy. He's the one who introduced us to Russo, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. There would not have been the Russo Bolin meeting and the shows had it not been for David Wills.
So Dave Wills, like a lot of people give him crap.
Is it Wills or Willis?
I think it's Wills.
Yeah, I think it's Wills.
Yeah. A lot of people give him crap over the whole it's still real to me, Danny.
No, it was. They only played the one little segment of it.
But he's a great guy, really nice, one of the funniest people I noticed.
Has actually made a few bucks off that crying gig.
He gets booked
and manages on stuff.
But the thing about it, though, is that they only, the one with trending and
was just a vacuum.
Yeah, just that. But if you watch the whole entire thing, it was a great question and a great.
I got a lot of respect for Dan.
Nobody showed up for this thing, too, which I keep reminding Corn.
Oh, yeah, those bleachers were empty.
Yeah, it was a little thin.
That's why they zoomed in on him.
So you only see that part. So
thin. House was a little
late. He got to work with Daniel Tosh off of that. I'm jealous of that.
He did.
Tosh's a big wrestling fan.
Well, Tosh sat down and ate a hamburger with us.
That's true.
Nice film.
I'm actually good friends with someone that works with Daniel Tosh.
Really? Well, yeah. Tosh is a hell of a good guy.
He actually lives in Louisville. He does other stuff, too. And
That's pretty cool.
He's actually friends with Al Snow, too. So it's all kind of connected.
Al's a great person and a terrible booker.
Person-wise.
And that's something I haven't told Al several times. So.
Yeah, he did tell me that a lot.
So the thing was, that Ian could have had a lot. Ian could have done so much. And he could have been a much bigger deal in the business had he just stopped being a mark. And there's so many of these people, and I was about to get into this, that we have people talk to us all the time, what's it going to take to book you guys on a show? Can you get this guy for me? Do you know this guy? Can you bring this guy in? And it's like you're wanting to book a show in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia, that might, on a great night, if the weather's bad and people are looking for somewhere to go, draw 300 people, and you want to pay some guy who hasn't done anything in 25 years $2,000 to come. You're going to make $500.
Right.
And you're going to – is what's the point of that? And if you have a money mark to pay for this – and I don't mean money mark derisively.
Right.
You know, that has a place in this business. But when you have a money mark and you spend them into the ground like that, you don't have a money mark for very long because they run out of money.
Right.
You spend them to bring in one show, and even if it draws, you're probably still not going to make back what you invest. Some of these guys from TNA and from Ring of Honor and these, you know, upper to mid-level indies, they want so much money. And they're never going to draw it back, ever. It might put more eyes on your show so that next time you might get some people to come out. But if you can't afford to run again, what was the point?
Right, yeah.
You're doing it because...
And I know several, because I'll tell... anytime a promoter says, well, Kenny, I'll pay you. As a matter of fact, I got a couple right now that are talking to me about paying me a couple of grand to do shows for them. That's about 5 hours away. And I even tell them, I said, well, please, pull your base... Pull your people. You got the social media, and make sure that the demand for me is there.
Yeah,
you know, because I feel bad if I go to a show that paid me $2,000 and 15 people would show up. Fortunately, I haven't been put in that position, but and fortunately, I normally only accept bookings that I feel will draw and back it up. And of course, I haven't done much of that over the last few years. But we got a couple of places wanting to bring me and Cornette in to do Q&As, and those things go well.
Yeah,
The Q&As go well, and then if they want us to maybe be at the show and just glare at each other or something, I'm happy to do that. But my days of managing are over. I think the Prince is still looking not only to do a little managing, but I think he's looking to also do some wrestling as well, because he's like me. He's a legit tough guy. You know, you don't want to mess with him. The OVW locker room found that out many times. A lot of guys talked smack on him a few times behind his back, but weren't very good at producing when they got in front of his face.
That's Alex Silva, if anybody wants to Google that name.
He found out the hard way.
What a bitch. I can say bitch on PG-13.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, Alex Silva's a bitch, and his dad died of AIDS. Yeah, get that to Alex Silva.
Yeah, you've already said that on a podcast.
I did. He said he was going to kill me, and you know what he never did?
You said that 6 years ago. He said he'd kill you, and here you are.
Yeah, he's still up in Canada. He's still up in Canada being a little bitch. You Randy Orton knockoff.
So you got to remember, the Prince and I are the ones that started the original.
Yeah, we kind of
slamming hoop.
Yeah, we kind of started this whole wrestling podcast thing.
We ran a lot of honky tonk.
Yeah,
yeah, we ran a lot of people off the Who Slamming Who network because we've
Iron Sheik don't want.
We realized now Sheik went away with his tail between his legs. The thing was,
Randy Poffo don't want.
No, he don't. Nobody was slamming anybody. The show was called Who Slamming Who. And nobody was slamming anybody.
Yeah, it was a whole lot of like
that's going to
mutual jerking off going on. It was awkward. It was boring.
So we decided, well, we're the dominant podcast here. We're going to, you know, we're not upholding to anybody. I'm not looking for jobs with WWE, TNA, ROH, or anybody else.
I wasn't even in the business at the time.
So. I was at OVW, and I'd badmouth them. You know, I dared them to fire me. I felt they needed me more than I needed them, and I think they felt so, too.
They learned eventually.
So we said exactly what we had to say. Now, I wouldn't go real hard on OVW, but I didn't duck anything either.
Right. I did.
And Chris did. And we ran John Cena's dad off the show because he thought we were shooting on him. And
we stole Randy Savage's website.
Yeah, we actually took Randy Savage's website and posted our own stuff on there promoting.
He wouldn't pay his webmaster. He thought that his webmaster should pay for and maintain his website
for free
just to be a mark.
With all the money that man's made, he tried to get a free website out of this poor guy. So when he told us what he owed, I said, well, what's he owe you? And it wasn't a monstrous amount of money. It was about $150.
Yeah, and he wouldn't pay him $150.
I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, I'll pay you the $150 that he owes you for that website, but the website becomes mine. Oh, well, do you want me to change the name? I said, nope, leave it the way it is. And then that week we had advertisements to come see the bowling alley.
We own LannyPoffo.com and MachoManRandySavage.com and RandySavage. We own like 12 other websites for like a year.
I'm assuming you sold them then, right? You don't.
No. We let the ownership of them lapse because it stopped being that funny.
But, yeah, it wasn't funny anymore after they realized they couldn't get into those accounts for about a year.
Yeah.
But I bought and paid for them. I didn't do anything wrong.
No, legally.
I did what they wouldn't do. They wouldn't pay for their website. So here, little old Kenny Boland, little old independent guy, had the $150 to pay for their websites, but these supposedly multi-millionaire WWE stars, Lanny Poffo and Randy Savage.
Right.
And Randy hated us till the day he died, and we didn't think too highly of him.
Yeah.
So when he died, what did we do, Chris? You know how everybody does when somebody dies?
Can't mourn forever.
Can't mourn forever. We got over it pretty quickly.
And didn't like the next week, didn't we have a didn't we have Lanny on the show to explain how he sucks his own?
We
you can bleep that too.
I don't think we really had him on the show, but when he well, we did, but it was a Lanny impersonator.
Okay. And I figured that's what we were going with.
Well, Lanny wouldn't come on our show and talk about how he sucks his own weenie. So
we tried. We invited him.
We wanted him to explain how he does it. That
he says he's a genius.
There are eyewitnesses. Well,
a genius could do that, I think.
Probably. Chris, you're a genius.
I cannot do that.
Okay.
I've checking. Never tried. But.
Just checking.
Man, that, Marilyn Manson. That's
Marilyn Manson can do that?
That's an urban legend.
Yeah, the urban legend.
I hear he bit his own weenie off once. Is that true?
At a concert, just for pop.
At a concert.
So you went to OVW.
Or he bit the head off of this bat. Is 90s. He bit the head off of something.
That was Osborne that bit the head off of bat.
That's what it was.
Yeah. 96, you went to OVW. You managed, and you also did commentary.
I did.
You managed Danger Zone Juan Hutaro.
I did.
That's an obscure now, reference.
Juan Hutaro never realized that was
so
work.
As you got more involved in OVW and got more work and probably did ran the show, they became the developmental deal, and that's when you started becoming what is now known as the Star Maker. Now then you were just King
Wrong.
King Bowen, right?
Wrong.
See, that happened in 99. I didn't become the Star Maker until 2004.
No, that's what I said. Oh, I know.
Saying that you eventually
progressed
through the developmental deal.
Well,
so,
because of all the stars you created.
The two that got me named the Star Maker, Jimmy and I had had a bet from the previous week because Cena had gone up, Bull Buchanan, Henry, who else before the Magic 2 went up that got me the name.
I mean, just about everybody.
Everybody that I'd managed.
I mean, you got Bo Buchanan, Rob Conway, Nick Dinsmore, Gene Sinisky.
Not Gene Simmons. I didn't manage him.
Lance Cade, Rene Dupree, Lance Bobby Cade. Lashley. I mean, that's just the name of few.
Well, the two that got me, you mentioned Lance Cade.
Yeah.
The two that got me the name Star Maker, we had had a bet, Jimmy and I, because I'd been on quite a run. And the running rib in the locker room is that everybody wanted to be in bowling services.
Orlando Jordan.
Or even Orlando Jordan, who was in one day and got called up. He went in bowling services one day, the next day he got called to WWE. So that was the running rib, is that the only way to get to the WWE, because Sin managed quite a few people.
She got Batista.
Batista is the only lady to claim that she got to the WWE. I said, well, that's great. You can have him. You can take credit for that debacle. So, and I've told
biggest
him
this, of Big Dave.
I've told him this to his face too. By the way, I also hit him in the back of the head with a briefcase as a shoot as hard as I fucking could. I'm sorry, I said it again.
We don't do well with language restrictions.
We don't. We've been on these. It's all
good. You've done
a
really good well, and I'll bleep out. But you've done good. Yeah, it's all good.
We behave for Russo better.
We do behave for him better, but he's podcast one. We had to.
Yeah, he's big deal.
He's big deal.
It's major league.
He is Vince Russo. Huh?
Yeah, bigger deal than I am.
Vince Russo, yeah.
So we're
he's made a little bit of money in the business.
A little, just a tiny bit.
The bet,
although $5,000 would be a big deal
for him.
Not a big deal.
He needs the $5,000, I'm sure. Yeah.
All right, you guys are getting me off track. So to bring it all to a point, Jimmy and I had Jimmy and I had a bet. As a matter of fact, I'm going to play you the interview where that came from in just a little bit. Was done in a Jerry Lawler, Roddy Piper interview, and I'm going to show you some classic stuff.
I didn't even know they
before you leave. Well, a lot of people don't. So, and technically they didn't, but there were some promos made. So back to me, and the bet was that. You know, your streak is going to end. Am I still alive? Am I still hooked
you're
up?
You're fine.
Still alive, yeah.
The bet was is that, Bolin, your streak is finally going to end because right now your primary team that you're managing is Cade and Jindrak. He said, well, I can assure you that those two, and he wasn't so much against Cade as he was Jindrak. He thought Jindrak was going to hold him back. He says, the team of Jindrak and Cade ain't never going to see a day in the WWE. Your streak is over. I said, I tell you what. I said, you give me 60 days with them, and if they ain't in, they're going to be in the process of being called up, if they're not actually in. And the bet was 60 days. He says, you're on. And I forget what the bet was. It wasn't anything monstrous. Dinner somewhere or whatever. And so I want you to know, 3 weeks later, I had to do an interview out there with Jimmy, and guess what team I didn't have to interview, because that day they had been called up to the WWE. It was 3 weeks later. So Jimmy had written down on paper how he would like for the interview to go. And I said, no, this ain't going. I'm going to get my shit in on this. I'm sorry, I did
gotta
it
bleep
again.
That. Yeah,
I did
that.
It again. I'm going to get my stuff
in. Hang on. I got to say, I think that on a wrestling podcast, you should be able to say, get your shit in, because it's like the most...
That's kind of the thing.
It's the most wrestling thing I can think of.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Nothing defines the OVW mentality more than Jim Ross saying, now get your shit
in. And I don't think that word's that much worse than bitch, to be honest with you.
It's probably less bad. I mean, if I call someone...
I'm going to go take a bitch?
Yeah, if I call somebody a bitch, that's pretty hard.
Yeah.
If I say...
Women get hot about that.
No one
ever got mad about taking a dump. You know, I don't know.
So it's poorly timed.
So I go to the ring. I go to the ring, and Jimmy's got in his mind all the stuff he thinks I'm going to say, and I'm going to get to it eventually. But I had my own agenda when I first got in the ring. I know we're probably running low.
No, we're good. We got plenty of time. We're good.
So I get in the ring, and I got the biggest smile on my face it ever was. And then Jimmy looks at me and says, well, here he is. The old Star Maker. He's done it again. And I'd never been called Star Maker before. I'd always been the king. Well, I liked Star Maker because I knew there were no others.
Right.
To my knowledge, there's never been anybody else in wrestling called the Star Maker, and or at least nobody that mattered. So I liked that, and I said, now that gives me my own thing. I don't have to be. There's been 1,000 kings, and I thought me
Harley
and
Race.
I really thought me and Lawler were the top two because
Carl Fergie.
We tied it into Booker a territory, G. and made an angle out of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Booker T wishes he was Carl Fergie.
Booker T does wish he was Carl Fergie. So I get called the Star Maker, so that's what got that going. And then I said, Jimmy, I said, I know today that it's a sad day on you. I said, because once again, you made a little bet with me. You made a bet with me that Jindrak and Cade would never see a day in the WWE, but guess who I don't have here with me today? Cade and Jindrak. You know why they're not here? They got called up to the WWE, right, Jimmy? I said, you remember when I told you that they were going to get called up to the WWE? And you looked at me like I had a smoking turd hanging out of my mouth. You did. And Jimmy lost it on television. He starts laughing and had to back off camera because he says, I'm pretty sure that nobody in the history of professional wrestling ever said had a smoking turd hanging out of my mouth on TV. He says, so you got that in, and you're the only one I think ever to do it. And to my knowledge, no one's ever said it since. But Jimmy started laughing right on television that I said smoking turd. And he knew I was right.
It's a good line.
I thought it was because that's what he looked like.
Yeah.
And so he just totally forgot what the rest of the interview was supposed to be about, and so did I. And I don't know what we covered, but that was named the smoking turd interview. And the day that I became the Star Maker, which... if I had to guess, was 2004, whenever Cade and Jindrak got called up.
Yeah.
Interesting fact, Jindrak's still very, very over in Mexico.
He's been on a couple of telenovelas. And also had a feud with a Cornette that I got drug into. So being a friend and being as I managed, I thought he was... I don't know why I took Cornette's side, but I did.
I never know why you take Cornette's side.
I did. I took Jimmy's side, and then I started shooting on Jindrak, and...
Before
it was over, with me and Cornette cutting promos on Jindrak, Jindrak waves the white flag and quits. He don't want any more.
Well,
he thought he wanted to cut promos with us, but he found out real quickly that he didn't.
Well, he's on a Spanish language soap opera, and you're not, so Jindrak probably wins this one.
I guess he loses then, don't he?
I'd love to be on a telenovela. That would be great.
I'd like to smack the butt of a couple of them.
So basically, Bowen Services in that time frame was kind of like the NWO and the WCW time frame, right? Everyone wanted to be a part of it?
Well, yeah, because that was, number one, that was the way to get in main events on television.
Mm-hmm.
I was laughed at when I accepted Mike Mondo into Bowen Services, and he was laughed at because now he was going to be the one to kill the streak. Well, there you go. You really think, because he was a walk-on.
Right.
He wasn't recruited by anybody. He was a walk-on, straight out of wrestling school. And then we decide we're going to put him in Bowen Service. And I think Chris helped motivate that.
Yeah, we went out to dinner. And he Mike Mondo, like back then, I've been around this my whole life. Like most people don't realize it unless they listen to the show regularly, but I'm pretty smart to this. And I could tell who's got talent, who's got what
they need. You sound like Donald Trump when you say that.
Look, I'm the best. I know talent.
Yeah, I'm pretty smart.
I know these
this.
People. You don't know these people, but I'm going to get these people. They're going to do wonderful things. No, it wasn't that. But we went out to dinner at Steak and Shake with him one night, and I think he had Serena with him as well, Serena Deeb, who hadn't made TV yet. Another very talented person from WWE.
Also went on to the WWE.
Also went on, yeah. And I got to know him. I got to talk to him, and I really liked the way that he thought. So I started motivating Dad. I'm like, you really need to get this guy. He's really got a lot to him. You know, he might not have the look that you normally go with, but this guy can do some things. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So I went to Jimmy and said, hey, you know, we got this guy in developmental class. He hadn't made it to television yet. And I told Jimmy, I said, based on the scouting report of Chris, and Jimmy has always buried anything that Chris has to say. Chris doesn't have the credentials. Chris doesn't know this. Chris doesn't know that. Chris don't know his ass from a hole in the ground, and he does. As a matter of fact, I had Chris grab his ass one day, and I pointed to a hole in the ground, and he knew which was which.
I did. I was so very proud of myself.
That was absolutely
You know, I had to study that for a solid week, but I got it right when the first came.
Well, it was like a urine test you studied for. You did real well on
that,
too.
I did, They didn't figure out any of that stuff.
Yeah. Some of the boys never studied for their drug tests, though.
They never did.
They never, ever.
You got to get with Balco. You got to get the clear. You want to pass those. Yeah. That's what Bonds did. So, but no, Mondo was a very good talent, and when he got into BS, he really showed that. I didn't like the shaved head look.
I didn't either. And the locker room was laughing their butts off. Now it's definitely over.
Right.
We knew Cade and Jindrak wasn't going to go because Jindrak was going to hold it back. Now, you really think you're going to get Mondo into WWE? And I didn't put a time frame on it because he was brand spanking new. And then we put him with Gene Snitsky.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, Gene Snitsky's another one that's never going to see it.
It's not his
WWE.
Fault, though.
No, well, it wasn't his fault.
And I actually agreed with him. I didn't think...
I thought that he would do something crazy and get released. I didn't think it was
that's what I thought.
Man had a $1 million look. He was just nuts.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff.
One of my
things.
Favorite Gene Snitsky stories, we're all out at Hooters one night. It's me, Dad, Mondo. I can't remember who. It was a lot of the crew from back then. A
few of the WWE guys were there that night.
Yeah, Aaron Stevens was probably there. Damian Sandow, Aaron Rex, whatever you want to call him. He was probably there. I think Nova was probably there before we were on bad terms with him. And we're sitting there, and Gene Snitsky's just gone up. He's just caused the miscarriage.
Brand new.
And he's down having dinner with us. And there's a pregnant waitress.
Well, educate them to who he caused to have a miscarriage. A lot of people out there may
Gene Snitsky hit Lita in the back with a chair by accident. It wasn't his fault.
It wasn't his fault.
Important to say that it was not his fault.
Not his fault.
I don't
not
want anybody
fault.
Telling Gene that I said it was his fault.
Daniel
Gene,
knew it wasn't his fault.
Gene, I know it wasn't your fault.
Nope.
So we're at dinner with him at Hooters, and a pregnant waitress is there. And he says, hey, ma'am, can I have some blue cheese? She kind of ignores him. Comes back, ma'am, I'd like some blue cheese. To Gene's defense, being very polite.
Speaking of very, she was very pregnant.
Like, we're talking 8.5 months here.
Oh, wow.
It's about to go down.
About to pop.
Yeah,
we thought we were going to have served baby as one of our entrees.
So Gene, by about request 6 or 7, goes, ma'am, can I have some blue cheese? She comes back, throws blue cheese at him.
Threw it.
Down the table, scatters everywhere.
Me and Prince were there, and we went, oh, God.
Like, oh, no. Gene stands up, knocks the table back.
He did.
Or knocks the chair back, rather, and goes, lady, do you know what I do to babies?
Wow.
He did.
Yeah.
I had to get him by the arm and calm him down and explain to him that his WWE career was not worth his problem with this girl and the blue cheese.
Now, what exactly was her reason for not? Was she a fan? Did she
no,
think
I think
of
she was
fault?
She obviously
was not a fan. Whatever she was, she wasn't a fan.
She had a Lita shirt underneath her uniform.
And she actually, I think, was just 8.5 months pregnant. Shouldn't have been there to begin with.
Mm-hmm. It was just a very bad mood.
It's late at night because we didn't go in there until the TV tapings were over. And we were always lucky to get out of the building by 11. And that would give us about an hour down there for the close. I'm sure.
And it's all you can eat chicken nights. We're being demanding. Yeah, I'm sure that it wasn't a pleasant experience.
I'm sure she had been there since 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon and at 8.5 months pregnant. Was about fed up with about anybody she cared to deal with on that day, and especially a big loudmouth, pimply backed wrestler.
Yeah.
So she made a stand.
The other great thing that Gene Snitsky did is my dad, myself, and Mike Mondo did a tour of the Northeast for a guy named Jason Sanderson. And Gene was brand new here. He hadn't even been on TV. He hadn't aborted Lita's baby. He hadn't done any of that.
Yeah, he hadn't even aired yet.
He hadn't even been on OVW yet. We had just, I think it was like the second or third time we met him. And we're coming back from New Hampshire, and Dad was like, you know, just pick us up wherever. So Gene calls the cell phone. We're on the tarmac. We just landed. Dad goes, all right, where are you? We're going to come out and meet you. He's like, oh, I'm on the runway. Dad goes, Gene, what? He goes, no, look out the window. I'm here. Dad looks out. Gene Snitsky's waving.
There he is.
He goes, what? So he's like, okay, I'll see you in a minute. So we hang up the phone. Dad's like, he's going to get shot. We're all going to get shot. This is like a year.
We're the last ones off the plane. We want him to shoot everybody else. Number one, we was in the back of the plane anyway.
This is a year and a half
after
9/11.
We're not too anxious to get off that plane because he's on the goddamn runway.
This is a year and a half, 2 years after 9/11. Like, we are not far removed from 9/11. Like,
right,
security
right.
in airports is miserable. It's miserable at airports. Everybody's in hell. And Gene Snitsky somehow managed to get his Mercedes G-Wagon onto the tarmac directly next to our plane. We come,
the security guy was a big fan.
Yeah, we come to find out, he pulls up to the tarmac and he goes, "Oh yeah, I need to get through here." The guy goes, "Well, you can't." So he goes, "Look, I got to pick up a big dignitary from the WWE. Kenny Bolin just had a big meeting with Vince McMahon up north, and he's here tonight."
Actually, I never met with McMahon on that trip.
The guy goes, "Oh my God, hang on," and he lets him through.
Let him through.
It's like, well, I know if we want to commit an act of terror, how to do it now.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Don't name drop
and
Vince
McMahon. Yeah, apparently. If you could have saw the other people on that plane watching a Mercedes pulled up on the tarmac to pick us up, you would have died.
Yeah, it was.
And I'm putting it over like $1 million. Like, yeah, this happens all the time.
Right.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
When we get in the car, we say, "Gene, you better drive. Move, because if they notice this, we're all going to get shot at." And luckily we didn't. We got out of there. The security guard was very polite.
No one shot us.
No one shot us. But yeah, it was awesome and terrifying at the
same actually,
time.
Once again, it wasn't Gene's fault.
No, it wasn't Gene's fault. No, the guy let him through.
He lied a little bit.
It's not his fault.
The guy let him through, but yeah.
Yeah, he just did what he asked him to do.
So yeah, that was a good time. Good old Gene Snitsky. I love Gene.
So I want to hear some more stories because I think you have many. You are Chris. The Prince. You would have many.
You better show some respect.
Yeah, absolutely.
I prefer the Lord personally.
Yeah, he wanted to be called the Lord on OVW TV, and for a while they shot it down. And then finally, Danny said he didn't care, and by that time, Chris was fed up and quit. So
yeah, I never got to be the Lord. Never that got was, to be that the was Lord where it was going to go. Yeah.
Right.
So,
but I would like to hear some more stories because I think that
I was also going to start a communist country too.
You probably have a lot to talk about, especially probably even about your
friend. Cheap microphones, Prince. Have you noticed that? I don't know that these are up to the Boland media quality that we use on our
podcast.
Yeah,
these are
okay.
They're about what, $9.95 at Target.
I don't have the money that you have, Boland.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm sure you'll
get you on a payment plan. I'm sure.
I'm sure you've ripped a lot of people off in Louisville over your years. You know Tim Ash, don't you?
You're from PRP.
I do know Tim Ash.
You're from PRP. Surely you're not above corrupt.
I do know Tim Ash.
And we've got a.
So what kind of story are you looking for? What kind of story?
Well, I mean, you know, when it comes to just
and Prince is right, we will set you up on a payment plan if you want to grab you four of those fine daddies hanging over there.
I know
the
you
Bolin will. Bolin media microphones.
The Bolin headphones. I sold many of those too.
You
well.
Did.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We sold about 50 sets down there or something.
Yeah, the T-Mobile
people are ordering I forgot about that.
Yeah, but I want to hear some more stories. I want to hear.
Got the wireless now.
Wireless now. Yeah, that'll go over well. Actually,
yeah, sure.
I want to hear. You know, stories about just things
you
don't normally
yours?
Hear. I do still have mine.
Still? Okay, yeah. All right.
I do hear stories about when it comes to, you know, the wrestlers outside. Because a lot of times, like you said, this
I know where you're going with this. And no, I did not have sex with all the WWE divas. Only just a few of them.
Just a few of them. Okay.
Well, only Awesome Kong.
Mickey James seemed to enjoy it the most.
We'll go into that.
Awesome Kong put up a hell of a fight. I don't think she wanted it.
We'll go into that. And I want to hear... I want to hear some more stories.
I'm not going into Awesome Kong. It's up to you.
Rape is never funny unless you're raping a clown.
Did he just ignore raping a clown?
I did.
He's not putting that over. Yeah,
I'm putting that over. All right. So that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to stop there because we kept going on and on, talking forever, that we had to break this up into two parts. So that was part one of our interview with Kenny Bolin.
Great. So I'm going to have to be tortured for the next few weeks knowing that I didn't get to be here for the – gloriousness that was the Bolin interview.
Well, you know, he invited us back on. He invited us on his show, and he said he'll come back on ours. So you'll get to do the next time. Maybe you can lead the interview, and I'll just sit back and enjoy the ice cream or something.
No, I want to eat the ice cream.
Okay,
offer me up for that. I host other shows. This is your show.
Yeah, true. You know, it's funny. Kenny, as you can hear at the beginning of the show, was pretty upset that we were a PG-13 podcast. But I got to thinking, you know, there's a lot of bleeps that go into the podcast, you know, in this episode. Some words I probably are technically PG-13 I can allow in.
Right.
So him and his son has opened up my eyes. And in part two, you're not going to hear as many bleeps. We're going to let some things get in there.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think, I listen to the PG-13 ones, and there's a few words. I think it's a number of words they say. Now, of course, the beginning of the show, I had to bleep all those.
Right, right. Well, of course.
But I think we can allow, we can be a little more open now, because it is, you know, it is PG-13, you know.
It was a bleep parade at the very beginning of that.
It was. They weren't really happy with me,
I'm glad I wasn't there for that part. Actually, I probably would have helped. I would have joined in with them.
You bleeped everything? Yeah.
Yeah. Even I believe. Even you heard me bleep a word. You know. Anyways. So. So yeah. It's awesome to have him on. And once again, the new podcast, the Bowling Alley, the new Bowling Alley podcast can be heard. It's him and the great Brian Last and his podcast network. You can hear it either go to bowlingpod.com. Also, you can find him on, you know, of course, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, all the places that play podcasts as well. You can tweet Kenny Bowling at Starmaker Bowling. Send him a follow. You know, tell him what's up. Tell him you enjoyed him on the show. Appreciate the support there. Don't forget, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Ringside Podcast. And individually, I'm at Daniel Spencer.
I'm at Jeremy_CSE.
And I guess, well, do we say at Cougar Mania for...
I mean, yeah, people don't know how to spell it, so go ahead. At Cougar Mania.
At Cougar Mania. There you go.
Justin, any words from you? No, he's still in Omaha.
Omaha! So,
trying to find his way to Temecula, probably.
Right.
Somebody will want to meet him there.
You know, it's pretty honored to have Kenny on, though, honestly, to do this, because he just was on Jerry Lawler's podcast, too, last week, and now he's doing ours for 2 weeks in a row, and then...
We're not worthy.
No, we're not worthy, and pretty much, I know he's already recorded one with Jericho, so that'll be airing soon as well. So it's pretty awesome. We're royalty here with all the kings around.
I will listen to anything Kenny Bowling. So shoot me the link when your buddy Chris Jericho has him on.
I will. So thanks for listening to the show. Once again, you can find us on Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play app, Podcast Addict, and our new TuneIn Radio app. You can check us out there. And or ringsidepodcast.com. As always, tune in next week for part two of the Kenny Bowling episode. And by the way, there's a special surprise at the end of part two. A special surprise. So you do not want to miss that, guys.
You didn't even tell me about it, so I can't wait to hear this one as well.
You do not want to miss it. So don't miss it next week. As always.
Until next time, you've been ringside.
See ya. Promise strength.